Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from the Dark Side of Wikipedia. If you like this show and you also like the paranormal, then be sure to check out my other podcast, The Grave Talks, with new episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Just search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts. Here's a 15-minute preview of a recent episode of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, Darkness Following, a conversation with Sister Kia Lynn Francis. It starts with a near-death experience. It's a moment of trauma and stress for everyone involved. When the person pulls through and survives, it's a time to celebrate and cherish a life that will continue. Sister Kia Lynn Francis' life started that way. As she grew, she would grow to meet an imaginary friend that wasn't so imaginary, have the ability to sense and feel forces from the other side, and eventually would fall victim to a demonic infestation in her own home. Today, she uses these gifts to help those around her as a member of the Holy Order of St. Michael the Archangel, Catholic mystic, and Nesper, Order of Exorcists, Reiki Master. This is her story on The Grave Talks.
As a child, I had an imaginary friend. Looking back, I think I was hanging out with a little ghost girl, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. And I've had several near-death experiences, and they seem to draw me closer to the veil. Every time I have one, I seem to get a new gift, or a gift is grown upon, you know. Mm-hmm. I say gift, they're kind of curses sometimes.
Sure.
You know, and I had SIDS as a baby and had to be resuscitated. I was basically dead. And I think that was my first experience with poking the veil at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that started my gifts early. And so that I was hanging out with Dinja, and she looked like she came from, you know, probably about 1855, like Little House on the Prairie vintage.
Sure.
And she always hid when anyone came around. And, you know, we had great talks, but she didn't have a face. She had a veil, like her hood, bonnet was always up, and it was always cinched down, and I never saw her face ever, and which is weird, right, for an imaginary, quote-unquote imaginary friend.
That's an interesting one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we hung out together like for years growing up, and in my grandparents' farmhouse, which was very old, and people had, you know, like as they did in the day, been born and died in the same place. And there'd been deaths on the property and so forth. I always felt like I was being watched as a child, and I would never go upstairs by myself, even in the daytime. It gave me the heebs, and mm-hmm. I always felt like there was somebody up there with me, even as a child. And I mean, I wasn't afraid of the dark. I wasn't a child like that, that, you know, had a crazy imagination or anything. I always just felt like there was something there mm-hmm. watching me. And I always remember that. So I would always drag my sister upstairs with me if I had to go. It didn't matter if it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There was no way in heck I was going up there by myself because I knew I wasn't by myself.
Sure.
And her bedroom, someone had died in her bedroom, and I found this out later. I would never sleep in her bedroom. We had separate bedrooms, and I would never sleep in hers. I hated it. I hated the energy in it. Even back then, I was sensitive to energies. So it started quite early, and then it progressed. And in my 20s, I started to really have more experiences, you know, with like, yes, I use spirit boards and, you know, automatic writing. I sat down with a piece of paper and a pen in front of me and it started moving on its own. And I was like, what in the actual hell?
Yeah.
I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't initiate it. I didn't know what automatic writing was or, you know, free writing. I had no idea. It just started happening. And it totally freaked me out. And
explain to the audience a little bit more about what automatic writing is. And
yeah, it's a divination tool. It's a way to contact spirit, that you hold a pen or a marker or whatever and a paper pad, and they essentially use your hand or the pen as an implement to communicate, and they will write through your hand. They kind of borrow your hand and they'll write messages or images. They'll draw pictures. I've had things come through in other languages, like in indigenous languages. Like, so I'm talking languages. There's no way that I, you know, knew the word for grandmother in a First Nations language. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not possible. And I happen to have been working with Jeff Richards as a mentor when I got a bit older, and I realized, okay, I have to get these gifts under control. And he labels himself an intuitive, and he's the star of the show The Other Side. And I was working with him, and he does that as his part of his process when he does his walks. So later in life, I learned more about it. But in my 20s, it was just happening. I mean, it was drawing pictures. Yeah. And it's not your own handwriting when it happens. There's different pressures involved. Different entities have different ways of writing. You know, you can feel it. Later in my life, I lived in a house that was it was a demonic infestation. And the creepy stuff that came through, you know, it was terrifying. Like, I still have the books, and the one main, you know, entity was very the pressure was very hard. It was very fast. It was very vulgar. It said things that I would never say. You know, and when I did it, I would have my eyes shut and I would be kind of in a meditative state. Not everybody does it like that. Everybody has their own way of kind of doing it. But initially I would just sit down and put pen to paper and it would start moving in my 20s. So that freaked, you know, you can imagine. Yeah. That would freak you out, right?
All of a sudden
there's something writing. Yeah. With your hand.
I'm trying to understand
your handwriting.
Trying to understand just the process. I mean, is this something where, you know, is it literally just, you know, sit down at the table with a piece of paper and a pen and then see what happens? Is it more of a, you said you're doing kind of in a meditative state. Is it something like that where you just kind of, you know, be at ease and then it just, after a certain amount of time, it picks up? Are there times you sit there waiting for it and nothing happens? Or, I mean, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a process. It's different for everybody, mm-hmm. right? Everybody's got their own way of doing it. Like, I know Jeff walks around when he does it and he just gets impressions and he starts writing and he's like, do, 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 do. And he's walking through the, you know, a house or whatever, mm-hmm. and he's getting his impressions, writing them down. When I started it, he told me, you know, watch TV so that your subconscious brain is distracted, you mm-hmm. know, distract the subconscious initially when you're doing it.
Okay.
And then see what happens, and or ask a question, write a question down on the piece of paper and see if an entity will come and actually answer it. You can do that too. You know, I was always, when I started doing it more, it was like, I would write down the date, the time, the room, and what I was doing. Like, am I meditating? Am I watching TV? Am I like listening to music with sound canceling headphones? Like, what kind of situation am I in that I'm doing it, that I'm getting responses or not getting responses, that kind of thing.
Is there,
you know, just kind of like a trial and error.
Yeah.
Kind of situation, with you know?
With you being the conduit for something like that, is there risk involved with?
Yes.
I mean, because essentially, I mean, you're not possessed, but it's like possession.
But you're open.
Light.
You're open.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically, you have to be careful with everything, right? Like,
sure.
I'm like, to label myself, because I am I'm a Catholic sister. I'm not a nun. So I've taken minor vows. Now, initially I was a witch, not a dark witch, you know, but I believed in a higher power, a divine creator, and just had a really close bond with nature. And I just didn't find a place where I fit in with a church or whatever, you know, and I still say that to people. I don't care where your ass is on Sunday, as long as you have a really strong moral compass and you're a good person, you know, you're good in my book.
Sure.
You know, and I'm not running around trying to convert people and stuff like that. And I say, if you're meant to find God, you'll find God. He'll be waiting for you. Mm-hmm. You know, and there it is. You know, I'm not out to, on a mission to preach and convert. You know, like I said, if you're going to find God, you'll find God. But I it's more important for me to have people with a strong moral compass that are working for good and raising vibration and positive energy in that sense. And I don't judge, and neither does Father Plato, in that respect, you know, just be a good person.
Sure.
You know, that's kind of how I look at things, you know, that's my attitude. I'm because of being a sister, like I'm still allowed to date. Not that that happens. I might as well be a nun, and still can work. And, you know, I don't have a vow of poverty or anything like that. Obviously not a vow of silence.
Sure.
So I'm a regular folk, just like, you know, cause we're independent Catholic too. Just like Father works and he's married and has children and stuff like that. So we're kind of like everybody else. And then we put the clerics on, but we, you know, can do exorcisms, and there's, you know, other perks that come along with the job. Anyway,
sure.
I'm rambling. No. So I'm labeled a mystic, but if I was not a sister, I would be an empath and I would be a clairvoyant, and I actually have all the clairs, right, for all the senses, okay. Right?
Sure.
Oh my God. Sorry. My cats are going bananas. They just knocked over a big crucifix and there's a salt lamp they're after.
Are the cats trying to do an exorcism? It is October 1st, the day we're recording this.
I think the cats need an exorcism.
I had a cat that I was suspicious of that at one time, quite literally.
Entities will jump into animals.
Yep.
So when we do exorcisms, we actually put holy oil and holy water on any animal. Like I have put it on a gerbil before, because they'll go into any living entity and I'm like, please gerbil, don't take the end off my finger. I'm trying to help you, you know? And it kind of seems ridiculous at the time that you're putting you're crossing a gerbil, you know, with holy oil.
Hope you enjoyed this 15-minute preview of one of this week's two brand new episodes of The Grave Talks. To hear the rest and get new episodes every Monday and Tuesday right in your podcast feed, search The Grave Talks wherever you download podcasts and press subscribe or visit thegravetalks.com.